In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Jimmy, Pat, and Rose Quintana, and for Steve V. Hill. It's good to have you here for your husband and your father's Mass as well. On Monday, so the sermons, I apologize for those of you who want to listen to them when they were given elsewhere. They are being uploaded right now, I think. I've been late in sending them up there. But on Monday, we talked about the rosary. And so if you're wanting to know more about the power of the rosary, that's what we talked about in relation to St. Dominic on Monday. And I think it's worthwhile to be able to revisit that, to see what power we have in the prayer, which we always begin our Mass with here on these Thursdays, praying it together. A beautiful thing to do. But as today, we celebrate the great feast of St. Lawrence the Deacon. I was really hoping that that Deacon Marvin would be able to be here so I could use him as an object lesson in a similar way as where we used that young man as an object lesson yesterday, that little boy who's sick right now. If you could continue to keep him in prayer, he's fine, just little kid sickness, young man sickness that comes and goes from time to time. So pray for him that he continues to get better. But Lawrence the Deacon is who we celebrate today. He's one of the great deacons of the Church. In fact, there are two deacons that the Church honors above all other deacons, and that is St. Lawrence, who we have today, and also St. Stephen, the first martyr. And these two, in fact, I'm sure I've told you in times past how they share a grave, even to this day, buried in the church of St. Lawrence outside the walls of Rome, a beautiful church which is there. And so we're told that St. Stephen, St. Lawrence moved over within his grave because there wasn't enough room within the tomb to place both of them in the small cramped space. They came and dug him up a second time to try, because St. Stephen's body would not allow to be moved from where it was being placed, and they found that there was perfectly enough room because Lawrence moved over so that Stephen, the first martyr, could rest there with him in the same grave. Beautiful thing of brotherhood that is to be had among our deacons, among our clergy, in that way that even in death we move for one another. The story of St. Lawrence goes, as you know, to summarize it very quickly, he was the only deacon. There are seven deacons of the city of Rome. They went down into the catacombs to celebrate Mass over the bones of the martyrs which were there, but somebody had to stay behind and to tend to the poor, which was what Stephen was always entrusted with. And so he had to take care of that before he could go and to be able to celebrate the mysteries with them. And so because of that, he was delayed. The Pope went down there with all of the deacons of Rome, and the Romans were outside waiting because everybody knew where the Pope was going to be. Everybody knew where the deacons would be because Christians always did that. They went down to celebrate the Mass and then they came back out. Well, so they were waiting for them to accuse them to be Christians and to take them away and martyrdom. And so when that happened, Lawrence rushed upon the scene, but he was too late. He was already there and reached for the Pope and said to him, "Holy Father, my Father, how could you go off to your death and leave your son behind?" And I believe it was Calixtus, the Pope, turned to him and said, "My son, I go before you, but 3 days hence you will follow me." And with those words, he accepted the words of his father, not seeking to press any further. Later on, it was discovered that one of the deacons was still there, and the procurator remembered, there's great riches within the Catholic Church. We're told about these things, these goblets which they use in order to celebrate their mysteries, the Mass. Go, show us your great riches. Give us those, and we won't put you to death as well, if you just give us your riches. He was thinking these military campaigns that the Romans went on cost a pretty penny to be able to do, and if you enrich us in this way, we'll overlook it and let you go. And so he thought about that. He said, "I'll bring you the riches of the Church." And so what did he do? As we all know, it's famed so greatly that he went out and he took all those sacred vessels, knowing that they would be destroyed and given to terrible things. He sold them, and with what money he was able to get from that, he began passing it out to the poor, to the lame, to those who were there for their carriage. And then after that, being asked to be able to do so, well, he said, "Give me 3 days' time and I will give you the riches of the Church." But it takes a while to gather it because the riches of the Church are spread all throughout Rome. The procurator said, "That's fine, I'll give you 3 days. And so in those 3 days, he went hither and thither all throughout the highways and byways, the underpasses, the difficult areas of the city of Rome, and there brought in what? The poor, the lame, those who were weak and thought poorly of, those who were widows, those who were orphans, those who were indigent in so many ways, and brought them close, and he brought them there and made a big show. He said, come to the church, come to where we are, and then I'll give it to you. And so with all these gathered here, the procurator was, yes, here's the time where I'm going to be rich, enriched in this way, and get more than I would have wanted in this man's life. I said, so here you've come. I want to present to you the riches of the Church. Here they are, in the poor, the lame, these ones who are here. That's what the Church values. That's what Christ Church values. These are the real riches of the Church. I don't know what else you may have wanted. He took that as a great offense. He said, "You're toying with me in this way." And so enraged in that way, he ordered him to immediately be taken and tortured in terrible ways, to be whipped and to have his body totally destroyed. And then after that, to create greater indignity, he said to place him upon an iron grate and there roasted above a fire as you would roast meat. And slowly he would be turned. so that all the more it would take a long time for him to be able to finally expire from this earth. Well, from that pain, we see the eutropelia of the saints. Eutropelia meaning this grace, this virtue which they have, that to be witty in moments. You and I should have it too. We should not be boorish or too heavy all the time, but to interrupt things with jokes and good mirth. Well, St. Loris, even from there, was given a grace by God, it seems, no longer even to maybe even feel the torture in which he was going through, that he cried out from the flames. He said, "If you think that you are going to strip my faith from me by these tortures, think again. As you can already see, I'm quite well done on this side of myself. You can go ahead and turn me over." That is the excitement, the wit of the saints, where they don't care about what happens to their bodies because they know that God is protecting even their souls. And as the scriptures say, that even God will not allow the bodies of his saints, his holy ones, to know corruption even in this life. That's what the Psalms say. They have that great confidence in God. So you and I should too as well. What I would have pointed now to Deacon Marvin, I would have had him dressed here arrayed just like you see me in these beautiful vesture. But this is the vesture of the deacon. It's called the dalmatic, and he puts it on. It's the prayer talks about joy. I forgot to bring it out here for you, so I can't read it here. But it talks about the garment, the vestment of joy, which is the vestment which the deacon wears that the priest does not wear. And so in this one with sleeves, you see it's got... Oh, I'm showing you the wrong side. Now you can see it more clearly. See this? How many horizontal stripes do you see there? You see two, correct? And how many vertical stripes do you see? Two. And what does that form for us? It forms a grate. Because this very vestment, which has been traditional with the church since the earliest times of the church, this is what deacons have always worn. What you find there is it's styled on St. Loris, the deacon of Rome. These are the grill marks which he himself had, reminding every single deacon, every time they fully vest, St. Loris. I'm to be like St. Loris. I am to be burned in some way, but yet, even while I put this on, whatever comes against me, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship I face, I should have that joy that Loris had, even as he was going under torture, for God will be my protection in everything. And so you and I should have that same grace as well, to have that same ability to trust in God, that he will indeed take care of you and I no matter what is going on within us. Nothing can strip that away from us. As the gospel said today, it said in the same one that is used in the church for this feast day for years upon years, even in the old traditional mass, says that our Lord turns to him and said, even a grain of wheat must fall to the earth and die, and only when it dies, then can it give forth life. And so too, Lawrence's death brought forth great life within the church and a great explosion in faith that marks our church even within our vesture unto today. And as the gospel concludes, our Lord says, but he who loves his life, he's the one who's going to lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will preserve it unto eternity. And so what our Lord says, as St. Augustine has, I won't read you the quote because we've already gone too long. I'm going to give it to you from the book. But what he explains that is he's saying one of two things. He says one interpretation could be that he who loves his life is going to lose it. So if you really love your life, you got to be willing to let go of it for God. But that's not the better translation, says he. He says there's a better interpretation that follows from everything else that's said. He says, but if he who holds onto his life as though it's the only most important thing here within this life will risk losing the life which is to come, because that's the more important thing. Seek not to preserve your own life. But rather, he says, I got to hate our lives in this world in the sense that the way in which we value our love of the eternal life so much more that the love that we have even for our life today seems as though it would be hatred in that way. That's what the saints teach us about this. And so to reach beyond God, each and every one of us struggles through something, and maybe we're struggling through interior turmoils that even bodily torture holds no candle to. Because of what's going on within our souls, depression, maybe sense of unworthiness, or God, how could you even bring us through, or because of a loss that we've recently gone through. So many things can go on. And yet, where is our life supposed to be held? Where is our love supposed to be found? You're going to say it in just a moment as we enter into these sacred mysteries. As I mentioned to you last Sunday, I'll reiterate it to you again. We say within the dialogue in the preface, I'll say to you, lift up your hearts. And what's the response? We lift them up to the Lord. The actual literal response in the Latin is this, sursum corda, which means our hearts on high. Just an explanation. Our hearts are on high. And then the response is abemos ad dominum, meaning our hearts are held or possessed in the Lord, or our hearts are possessed toward the Lord, meaning God has our hearts. God has you and me. So what do we have to fear in this life? Ask St. Loris for that sort of confidence in him. That even though those burn marks, however it is that they afflict you in torture, whether it's external or internal, whether it's people coming against you or something that comes even from yourself or from the evil one himself, that there can be a joy that's even there. that even from that, you can say, turn me over, because God's got me on this side and on that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.